Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Federal authorities are investigating Sunday's death of a monkey at a research center in Southboro operated by Harvard University. It's the fourth death of a monkey there in 2 years and the third in the past 6 months. This latest death is being blamed on a lack of water in the monkey's cage. And today, the interim director of the New England Primate Research Center, Dr. Fred Wang, resigned. He had been hired to help reverse systemic problems at the center, which is one of 8 primate research facilities around the country. To discuss what happens now, we spoke earlier today with Deborah Runkle. She's an analyst with the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and we asked her if the number of deaths at the Harvard facility is striking.
I think it is very unusual. This is not common. Primate facilities have generally a very good reputation for taking care of their animals.
I imagine that monkeys have a particular importance in terms of medical research. They're quite similar to humans in many ways.
Well, they're more similar, certainly, than rodents are. So there are times where you simply can't use a lower species and you need to use an animal that is more like us. That's particularly true, but not exclusively true, when you want to do research on the brain.
Could you give us a sense of what regulation or oversight exists of these facilities to make sure that animals are properly cared for?
Number one, they are licensed by the Department of Agriculture and inspected regularly by the United States Department of Agriculture, which can cite them for deficiencies or fine the animal facility, for example. Furthermore, if they're getting assistance from the Public Health Service, they must have submitted an assurance that describes their animal care and that they will abide by certain guidelines. Every animal care facility is required to have a group of individuals at each institution who examine and study every protocol that is going to require animal use. And they determine such things as, is this the right species to use? How will they be taken care of? Additionally, there is a voluntary accreditation program. The private, non-government, international accrediting organization will take away accreditation from facilities that don't come up to standards, or they will help them to come up to standards. Furthermore, the Department of Health and Human Services, which funds most biomedical research in this country that is publicly funded, if a facility is below par and is in trouble, they can refuse to fund any studies using animals.
There are certainly many people and many groups who would prefer that there not be animal research at all. Is that realistic? I guess I'm wondering if you would talk about the importance of animal research and whether there's another way to do it than this.
Eventually, if you want to make progress, you have to look at a living system. And cells in culture are not a living system, and computers are not a living system. And only a living system has all of the different pathways that interact in very complex ways with each other, which can only be studied in a live animal.
One of our reporters here covering the story talked to someone today who said that not only do we want to treat animals well for moral and ethical reasons, but because the data they give us could be unreliable if the animals are not happy and are not healthy. Tell us how that could happen.
Well, if an animal is diseased, you're not going to get reliable research from that animal.
And what if not diseased, simply an animal who is in a bit of distress in terms of its care?
Well, that animal, too, an animal that is extremely stressed, that would be reflected in its physiology and its chemistry and its hormone levels, and the results could well be very inaccurate. Nobody wants to waste their time doing research that isn't going to be meaningful.
Could you give us some specific examples of how animal research has resulted in scientific breakthroughs?
You know, every vaccine that we've had has been tested for efficacy and safety in animals. Virtually every drug on the market has been thoroughly tested in animals, and we could not get licensed drugs without animal research. We have learned amazing things about HIV and about the transmission, for example, from mother to child, which has resulted in, frankly, saving many, many thousands of babies from getting AIDS from their mothers. The ultimate test, finally, of course, is human beings, but I don't think most people would want the very first use of a drug to be on their child.
Deborah Runkle is an analyst with the American Association for the Advancement of Science, whose policy work focuses on animal research. Deborah, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.